Welcome to episode 448 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, and Donna. Holland is known for tulips in the spring, and Amsterdam is one of the best ports for river cruising in Europe. Put them together and you have the perfect recipe for a tulip time river cruise. Recently, Sandy and Donna experienced this on two of our favorite river cruise lines, and we thought it would be fun to have a little contest to see what's different about each. So let's get started. So who went on what?
So I went on Avalon in April.
And I went on Amacerto in the end of March.
Okay, so they were pretty close together. Now, where did you both sail out of?
Amsterdam,
yeah. It was like round trip.
Is that the only departure for the tulip cruises?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Do they go both ways?
So it's round trip, and you're actually on... They never even really talked about what rivers we were on because we switched waterways so many times. One time it felt like we were in like an open ocean almost. It was kind of...
You're kind of in the Delta Works, so... The Dutch have become masters at holding back water and retaining water where it needs to be. And so they've built these huge deltas... to stop all the water, and by doing so, they created these giant bays. And so, that's basically what you're sailing in.
All right. So, Sandy, yep. It looks like your first stop was in Rotterdam.
Well, technically, you know, we embarked in Amsterdam, and then we were also in Amsterdam the next day. So, I had like three nights in Amsterdam. It was kind of cool because we got there a day early and then we got on the ship and then we were there until like 9 o'clock the next night. So my technically first day was still Amsterdam. We did a canal cruise and ours was backing up to King's Day, which is a national holiday. And apparently the entire city celebrates this. So they were ready to get us like out of town to kind of miss it. But it's so we could see it like setting up their parades and, you know, people stake out their spots outside and kids sell things. So it looked like it would have been kind of cool.
Did they go over on the ship why they celebrate King's Day?
It's the king's birthday.
Yes, king's birthday.
So it changes when the king changes or it's Queen's Day or whatever, you know, so yeah.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. What's cool is they'll celebrate in the Dutch Caribbean, too. It's a big thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So this year I celebrated because I was there the same time. In fact, I saw Donna in Amsterdam. I was on an Avalon cruise, but I was on the Rhine. But then I went to Dutch Caribbean, and they celebrate both places. So it's kind of cool to see.
You went from the Rhine to the Dutch Caribbean?
Well, there was Switzerland in between, but we won't talk about that. But that's pretty much.
That's a future podcast.
What's a big, but I really want to hear about like all these little, because the other sailings out of the, with both of these cruise lines out on Amsterdam, out of the Rhine, if you're going this time of year, you do have that option to go to Kerkhof. You have that option to get like a little mini taste of the tulips. So what, Donna, you don't remember what the riverways were called that you were on, that you went,
okay. No, because they really didn't talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's Kuchenhof, right?
It's, the yes. Gardens? Is it Kuchenhof? Kuchenhof.
It's Kuchenhof. Yeah. So we actually did that from Rotterdam on our, I guess it would be day three. Yeah, or day two, I don't know. We did that early on, but they changed up our itinerary. We were supposed to go to Ghent, and that was canceled for us because Ghent is controlling their tourism and only letting a certain number of ships dock, and we were booted off of that itinerary. So they did a bus tour to Ghent if you still wanted to go to Ghent, or... I think that was the day I did Antwerp. I think I stayed in port and did Antwerp. But yeah, Donna, did you hit Rotterdam?
We did, but I actually opted to do Delft instead. So they bussed us over to Delft instead of doing Rotterdam, and we just drove through.
Okay.
So
Rotterdam was cool. It was
very modern city.
Yeah, it's interesting, and the reason for it, you know, compared to Amsterdam, is it got bombed in World War II, and a lot of it was destroyed. So it was rebuilt in like the 60s, I think. So they talked about that, why they have more modern buildings and architecture there. They have these really cool like cube houses. Have you been to Rotterdam, Lindsay?
Yeah.
Have you done that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Very, very, very cool. How much? So you didn't do the Kerkhof Gardens then?
Kukenhof. I did.
You did?
So, okay, that's why I did. Okay, sorry. It's all blending in my head. But basically, for Rotterdam, you had a choice of an all-day tour at Kukenhof Gardens, which was like 8 hours at the gardens, or you could do half a day, and it was like 4 hours. And I kind of felt like I didn't need more than 4 hours of tulips, even though it was a tulip time cruise. But, you know, I mean, I was like, oh, how much am I really going to walk around and see tulips around every corner? I will say, though, it was cool. And the people who stayed all day did things like boat rides. You know, there was like, it was like a park, you know, like, I don't know. It was like a carnival type thing. You know, there was a lot of stuff to do if you stayed all day. So you could definitely make it like a full day thing. But I was happy that I went back. Yeah.
That was one of my regrets, is that we were there for longer than a half day, but it wasn't long enough to do one of those boat rides, because I think the boat ride was like 3 hours or something like that.
Oh, really?
And we were there early enough in the season that like all the flowers were beautiful, but mm-hmm. they weren't like, I guess, and you know, we weren't height of season. We were beginning of season. So.
We were like full bloom. It was gorgeous. Yeah. And I ordered some flowers to send home to my parents. And then it was funny because they had all these different types of tulips. I mean, they had hybrids, and they had, you know, they've basically created all these different types of tulips that look like, you know, they're kind of frayed on the ends or look like fire, or, you know, they're really cool. And so I ordered all these bulbs, and then I was like, I didn't really get my parents any like classic tulip looking tulips. You
know? They'll grow where they live, because
you can buy classic tulip looking tulips here in the United States.
That's true. That's true. No, well, yes, they did tell me they'll grow, and I've grown tulips, you know, at my parents' house and my house before. And basically they just need full sun. So, you know, as long as we have that, which when I was at my parents' last time, I was noticing they do not have full sun. Because they have like all these trees. So I'm like, oh man, you know, like I spent a lot of euros on tulips. So, but those are going to be delivered. Like they will ship them in September, and they're going to get them in October, and then they'll bloom next spring. So
did you see the rainbow ones in like the showcase room? And it was like red, white, and blue, the flags and stuff. And I'm just how did they do those? How did they grow?
No, we didn't go inside any of the buildings. So, yeah, I mean, like, when you count, like, the drive time, I think we spent, like, 2 hours walking around the tulips, tiptoeing through the tulips. So, so I could have spent a lot more time there, but I was happy that I went back to Rotterdam, because we went to this, like, Dollar Tree kind of store, and they had all these really tacky, like, hats and boas and sunglasses and stuff for King's Day. So we bought some for all of the people in our group. And so that night on the ship, we were celebrating King's Day with just, you know, our little group. It was fun. It was pretty cool.
So that's something to note for people who want to see flowers. What about what day in April? Because you guys were early April. Was this?
I was the first week of April when I went, and the daffodils were in bloom, but most of the tulips were not. The only ones in bloom were the ones in the hothouses.
Yeah, and I was there the week. So I was there March 29th. I just went back and looked at my camera roll to see what day. So you really, for the people who, it's very important for flower timing, I think, no,
the second later, week of April probably is the start, and then into the third week and fourth week. Yeah.
Yeah, I think our embarkation was like April 23rd. So it was around the end, like the last week. And we were one of the later, like, it was getting to the end of the tulip season when we went. So, yeah, I would say wait a little bit. But I guess it also depends on how warm it's been that year. And, like, you can't really know. So, yeah. But tons of tulips. So much. What did you think, Donna? Did you go early? Or it looked like yours was at the end of your cruise.
Ours was at the end of the cruise because they wanted to give us, I guess, as much time for them to start blooming. So they put it towards the end of the cruise. And so what we did the very last day that we ended in Amsterdam. And so the last day we had a half a day and they had a canal cruise in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then they took us over to Keukenhof in the afternoon. For a couple hours, or I could have, you know, if I'd already done Keukenhof, I could have, you know, just skipped the tour and stayed in Amsterdam for the rest of the afternoon. But the whole reason I was going was to go to the gardens.
Yeah, right. It's the tulip time cruise. So,
exactly.
Yeah, for the tulips.
Exactly.
Yep.
So after the tulips, it sounds like she'd hers at the end, yours at the beginning. What else did you guys do?
Well, we did a couple days in Belgium and then back in the Netherlands. So our next stop, I did a full day excursion to Brussels, which was an 8-hour tour because it was a good long bus ride. And then, you know, walking around, we had probably 4 hours in Brussels. Got to see the little peeing boy statue, which is a highlight. Everybody wants to see it. and then, yeah, that was pretty cool though. I mean, I really liked Brussels. It's a really cool modern city. It's the capital of the EU. So, really metropolitan, but a good mix of old and new stuff. So I liked it.
Did you go do Brussels at all?
Oh, you didn't go to Brussels?
Nope. Brussels was not on the itinerary.
So that was where I bought my Belgian chocolates, my first set of Belgian chocolates, because that was one thing our guide talked about. Was she kind of pointed out the more kind of local shops to get them at instead of the ones you could also get in the airport. So I bought mine there at a place called Mary. It was really good.
Mary, yeah. Did you go into Pure?
I don't think so.
Oh my God. I went into like three different places and those are my favorite. And I think I've like almost inhaled them. They like melt in your mouth and
oh my God.
Really trying to pace myself.
They were so good. Yeah.
Yes.
They were so good. So, and we did do Antwerp too. I know Donna, you were really interested in the diamonds there. I skipped the diamonds. Ooh.
Yes, I went diamond shopping.
Yeah. Did you?
It was my birthday coming up, so you know what? I bought myself a birthday gift.
Was it like more than the rug?
I was just gonna ask.
No, it was less than the rug. From Turkey.
And that rug.
It was less than the rug from Turkey, so you know.
I bet the price of that rug was getting the rug home.
Oh no, that was the price. So
yeah,
but no, it was less than the rug, and I bought myself, you know, a birthday present for myself. So but after going diamond shopping, I did a beer and chocolates and waffle tour.
Yeah,
so,
nice.
In Antwerp. So, and we went to a place called Chocoflor.
Chocoflor?
Yes, and that was in Antwerp, and the chocolates there. It was basically less than a half a block from the cathedral. Oh. So, yeah, they melt in your mouth, and they had all these different flavors, and I spent $120 on chocolate.
Yeah, I spent a lot of euros on.
But Mother's Day was coming, so I got Mother's Day presents.
That was what I brought back for everybody too, and they loved it. I mean, everybody loved it. I don't think I brought back a bad chocolate. It was so, so good.
Yes.
So,
and a shout out to the cheese too. Sorry, Georgia.
Am I missing? So what is the connection with chocolate?
Oh, Belgium
chocolate.
I know. Why?
Because they make the best chocolate in the world. Sorry, Switzerland. I I think I'm a little bit authority on this now, so I can say that definitively it's the best chocolate in the world.
It's not like Belgium invaded any chocolate making countries and brought it back.
Basically there were Belgians and Dutch. So you had the Dutch East India Company. So they were the ones who were bringing it back. And they just perfected it, you know, they perfected how they made it.
So good.
I'm going to get in so much trouble for saying this, but the Belgians had the best chocolate, the best waffles, and the best frites. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. We had to have the frites.
And the Belgian beer was really good, too.
And the best beer.
There's over 2,000 breweries in Belgium, and it's a tiny little country.
So I have to ask, Donna, did you, because I squeezed my butt into the, I dragged my mother-in-law into the beer museum. And I wish I'd been there with you. She was not impressed while I'm tasting all of the beer.
While I was in Bruges, I actually said that we had a half day tour in Bruges to actually do the city tour. And then they let us go and I went to the Wall of Beer. There's a giant wall that has all these different beers that are all part of the Belgium, and then ended up going over to the I can't remember the name of the brewery. It's De Bourgogne, and had a couple of yummy beers and some cheese and meatballs and.
So I wanted some mussels, and nobody that I was. Like walking around with wanted to get a pot of mussels.
I would have gone with you. Yeah. See,
I know. Well, somebody did that. Like, I know. I picked the wrong people, but yeah, because I kept seeing them and I was like, oh, look at that pot of mussels. It looks so good, but I wasn't gonna eat an entire pot by myself. So I just focused on the beer and chocolate. I did have some waffles at Kuchenhof. They were really good.
Yeah. But,
so there's a bar there, De Dharma. I'm so bad with my memory, so bad about names, but it was one I specifically was like, I'm going here. I don't care. I'm going to this place. And it's so hard to find. It's like down this alley that you can't even find to get to. And they serve cheese with the beer. And they've been making the beer the same way since like the 1500s. It's incredible. And it's the best cheese I've ever tasted in my life. And I don't know, the cheese was making the beer taste good. The beer was making the cheese taste good. It was.
Yes.
Was that in Bruges?
In Brussels. That was in
Brussels. Yeah. Okay. Did you go to Bruges, Lindsay?
No, not this trip.
Okay. Yeah. That was cool. I really liked that area. And I got more chocolate there. That town was really cute. It was really
beautiful.
I don't know. Yeah, they call it the Venice
of the North.
Of the North.
Oh, I lied. That's where the swans were. We did go to Bruges. That's where the swans are.
Well, there's all these canals and stuff, but it's like a old medieval village kind of. Yeah,
and you walk over like through. There's like a monastery, not old monastery, nunnery area with like the death. Yep. Yeah, okay. We went to a church there, I think, that had like the blood of Christ in a little vial up at the altar. And my mother-in-law, her family's from Belgium. My husband's family's from Belgium, so he's got a relative's birth certificate that's from Belgium. So it was really cool to see her get to kind of go around there, and she was like so entranced by all the lace and everything.
Yeah, I bought some lace too. I know. I'm like, wouldn't have thought that I would buy that, but I bought some little ornaments.
We're definitely going to go back for a longer trip.
Yeah, it's very cool. Wow.
So it looks like that one of the big ones that we both hit was actually Middelburg. And that's a cute little town to visit.
Yeah, we did like a double port that day. So Middelburg, we were only in there until about like 11:15 in the morning. We sailed away. So we had a really quick walking tour and then went to like the little square in the middle and then really short. So were you there for the whole day?
Well, it was interesting because we were supposed to dock there, but we couldn't because the wind was so high. So we had to actually, we had to dock in a little town called Hellevoetsluis.
Oh.
And it was about an hour and a half drive from there to get to Middleburg. And so we weren't supposed to see the Delta Works, but we actually had to drive over them. So we got to see the Delta Works and see all the windmills and everything that and how it works there, where they basically control flooding, because we had to drive over them. And the wind was so strong that there was warning signs that buses couldn't, you know, necessarily go over all the time because the winds are so strong on the North Sea. And even when we docked, the captain hit land.
Ooh.
Because he was blown into it. And at that night, I heard a crash, and I didn't know what it was. Found out later that one of the windows had been knocked out.
Oh,
wow.
On the ship, and it flooded 5 cabins.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And it was very interesting because, they said, luckily the ship was not completely full, so they were able to move people around and everything and get everybody moved. But if they had to, then the captain was going to be, you know, bunking with the first mate and the hotel manager, and they were going to, the staff was going to have to, you know, basically.
Yeah.
Bunk up together in order to accommodate these guests that didn't have rooms anymore. But they got a nice upgrade because they got moved up to balcony rooms.
Well, yeah, I hope so, though. That's crazy. I guess that's a good cautionary tale that your itinerary can change because it changed for both of us. So,
But what was cool is because, I mean, they were able to commandeer some buses and still keep the same tours and keep the same schedule, even though we were an hour and a half away. They gave us a little extra time in Middleburg, and I got to go to a really cool little tiny brewery. It was fantastic.
That's cool. Yeah, our second town that day was called Veer, and that was a super cute little town with really cute little shops. And we went, I mean, by then we're back in the Netherlands and, you know, everybody's riding bikes. Everyone is gorgeous. Everyone has a dog, you know, like all the street signs have like 15 letters or 25 letters in them. And, you know, I couldn't pronounce anything.
I do love that everyone has a dog there because it is literally everywhere you go. I mean, we were walking out of restaurants and I would like run into an English bulldog or a French bulldog and they're just,
oh my God. Yeah.
Like everywhere.
Yep. Yeah, I have so many pictures of dogs, and they were everywhere. If you love dogs, and everybody just seemed healthy and happy because they're all out riding their bikes all the time and sitting around at little cafes having beer, you know. So it was cool.
And the other thing that's typically Dutch is the windmills, and so they took us to Kinderdijk, which is the UNESCO site for windmills. And most of these windmills were built in the 1600s, 1700s. Wow. And they're still operating today, and they actually control the flooding. They actually are, they pump water into different canals to make sure that flooding doesn't happen.
That's cool. We saw a lot of windmills, but we didn't really tour them or...
They took us out and they showed us, we got to tour one, we got to go inside. And there's only one of them that's actually part of the park. The other ones are all occupied by people. They live there and they have to turn the windmills and they have to do all the sails and everything every day. And the problem they're running into is most young people don't want to be responsible for this. And the population that is actually running these windmills is aging out.
Oh.
Well, they need to up the incentive, I guess. I mean, is the rent free? Because
you have extra responsibilities. You have to make sure that your windmill is operating and in good condition. And
I don't know. This sounds like a cool retirement
plan. I was going to say, I mean, if they put that open to foreigners, and as long as there's good Wi-Fi.
Yeah, seriously. Could have your dog with you all the time, and that would be cool. Yeah. So our last town that we visited was called Williamstead, and it was a cute little coastal town. There were a lot of sailboats and stuff there. So I kind of got the feeling that people just kind of take their boats there. And but it was a Sunday, and so everything was kind of closed when we first got there. But it was, by then, the most gorgeous day we had. So it was sunny, it was warm. Went to the grocery store, got some wine and cheese, and took it back on the ship and went up on the top deck. And we had like a little smorgasbord up there, because they'll, I mean, they gave us an ice bucket and a wine opener, and we didn't have any problem with that, you know. So that's one thing about river cruising that I'm like, I love that. That was really nice.
They don't care. They'll chill it for you. That's like my favorite thing to do. We go to the grocery store and everybody gets like something and brings
it. Load up.
And, you know, we make friends with people on board while you're sailing, and everybody brings something different. And so we've done
it. It truly makes it happy hour.
Yeah. Very much a happy hour.
Yeah. It was gorgeous.
Especially when everybody had chocolate from different places. Everybody had.
Oh, I wasn't sharing my chocolate.
And cake and things like that.
I shared some cheese, but I didn't share.
I mailed most of it home, but I did share some of it. What I should have shared, what I should have never bought, and I will say, I did buy like probably the most awful souvenir, like not awful, but the most wasteful money ever spent. I bought snortable chocolate.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a little different.
That sounds like a problem.
It was made for the Rolling Stones to celebrate, I think it was Keith Richards' birthday or something. I don't know. So they made this chocolate. The guy's name, I'm going to butcher, so I have to read it off the box. But it was a chocolate shooter from the chocolate line in Belgium. And this is what happens when you go to buy souvenirs after you've been to
drinking the breweries. Yeah.
After you've done too many tastings. And it's a blast of chocolate pleasure. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. It's like cocoa raspberry and cocoa ginger, but it's got this little like.
So you're sure you're supposed to snort it?
Yes, that's what it says. It's like
Because is it in English? I mean,
well, so it says, shoot a cocoa herb mixture into your brain. It's an experience with rock and roll.
No, like, thank
you. Yeah. Fill the tube. No. I don't know. This only sounded like, I don't know who I bought this for, because I bought this thinking this would be a good gift for somebody, but I don't know.
You're like, who thought this was a good idea? Yeah. Keith Richards. Yeah.
Are you sure it was just beer and you weren't eating something else?
I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if some of the chocolates I tasted weren't laced with something.
Because, you know, Amsterdam does have that, you know.
Even for me, this was an off-the-wall. This was in Belgium. This was an off-the-wall. Dominique Persoon or Persona? I don't know. So, yeah, I'll have to figure out what I'm going to do with this. You guys might see this again at Christmas time.
Great.
That'll be your white elephant gift.
White elephant gift.
Yeah, right?
Gets passed around.
Donna, how was the entertainment on AMA?
It's usually very low-key.
I
honestly, because that's when I work. After dinner, I go back to my cabin and I work, or before happy hour when they have some musicians come on. But I did catch a few. There was just a guitarist, and then there was a trio of a string trio.
Were they called the Groovy Gents?
No, it was. No. I can't remember the name of them, but no, it was something of the river, and their entertainment usually tends to be kind of low key and very relaxing, but they're very talented musicians. So
yeah, ours was, we had one night of a trio. A guy had a stand up bass, and it was really good. They were very high energy. But then we also had like a trio of like a violinist and a cellist and a guy playing guitar. So they were more chill.
They're more chill, but then they also played music that was more traditional. So it was jigs and gypsy music and things like that, where it's very fast and very energetic.
Well, that's how our first guys went. The second one, they played more classical music, but they would say things like, and you might remember this from Bugs Bunny. You know? And we're like, oh, yeah, you know, Elmer Fudd.
I love when they read their audience and they're like, "This is what we should be playing."
This is the Looney Tunes audience.
Yeah.
I will say, I feel like they play a lot of the Romany jigs and
yes,
the past couple
Serbian and
on both
Eastern European.
Both Ama and Avalon, I noticed there were a lot of it, which was really nice because it was like a little being transported back to Romania up there for a minute. Yeah. Very nice.
Oh, that's cool.
And we also, we hit one other town that you didn't hit. We did a little town called Hoorn.
Hoorn.
Hoorn. And Hoorn.
Well, you also, did you talk about Delft too? Because that's
I'll talk about both. Yeah. So Hoorn was a little fishing village, and basically when they built the Delta Works, they cut off the sea. And so the water actually changed from salt water to fresh water. And all of the fishermen that were there, because it was a big fishing town, ended up basically moving away to, because, you know, the fish died. You know, they didn't have salt water anymore, so they, you know... There's only two fishing boats left, but it's a little fishing village, and there's lots of little plaques on the walls of the on the outside of the building that tells you what the buildings were, and most of them were fishmongers and cheesemakers and things like that. There's really no industry there. It's just a little small hamlet village. And most of the people that live there actually commute in and out of Amsterdam. It's about an hour train ride every day. And so they telecommute, but then they go into Amsterdam like once a week. And then the other town we went to was Delft. And that was, I did that instead of going to Rotterdam. And it was, okay. They took us by coach over to Delft, and we did a little city tour. It's a medieval city. It's really, really interesting to walk around the area, and then it also was the home of several I want to say Erasmus was from there, who's a philosopher. So yeah, it was a very interesting place. And then also there was an artist, but anyway. But we did Delft, and the big thing there is the porcelain factory. And so Delft porcelain is that Dutch blue that you always think about on porcelain.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's where they actually make it. And if you ever went to the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, there is a Delft tile painting of the Night Watch, but the original is actually at the Delft factory. They made two of them. One of them's in the museum, and one of them is actually. And this thing, it's probably 20 by 30 feet.
Wow.
I mean, it's a huge piece. And all of the china that's made for the royal family all comes from Delft. For the Dutch royal family, they've got place settings. They for important people, for Rembrandt, things like that. Those are all people that, you know, they have been working with for years and years and years, because this place has been here since like the 1500s. And they've got two different kinds of porcelain work. They've got they do the porcelain, but then some of them are hand painted, and some of them are actually almost like stickers. It's not a sticker, but there's a big price difference between buying one that is, you know, that is done by hand, and one is done by the machine. So yeah. I wasn't going to pay for the hand done, because I spent, you know, money on diamonds instead.
Yeah, you already bought, you left all your money in Antwerp.
Exactly.
Right.
But it's neat to see how it's done. And if you don't know anything about ceramics, they take you through, and they show you exactly how ceramics are made.
I really love how travel has that, you know, sometimes you can find those common threads through all of your travels that you might not even realize in small individual pieces, but when you step back and you look at them, you see them there. And Delft porcelain has been one of the staples in my, I feel like my last whole year of travel, because everywhere I've been, I've seen, you know, even in Savannah and some of the really cool little hotel, boutique hotels that were decorated all with the Delft pottery. And where I live, Dutch is very, there's a big Dutch community here. And so we have Holland Happenings and we have, it's very an influential thing. So something, I didn't even know where it was made.
So well, now, yeah. You know, now you do.
Now
I'll have to look for that in Savannah in a couple weeks when I go there. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Lindsay, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.